Okay, are we on Jesus Christ? Amen. We on Jesus. And you know that's always safe when you're in church. If anyone asks you a question, just say Jesus. You're always right when you do that. Hear about the little boy that was in Sunday school? And the teacher asked the little boy in Sunday school, says, what's gray, has a long bushy tail, and climb trees? And the little boy says, well, I know it's Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me. Can I have an amen, somebody? Okay, we got the Godhead, triunity. Can you find the word Trinity in the Bible? No. What do you find in the Bible concerning about the Trinity? The doctrine of the triunity of God, all right? If you try to understand the Trinity, you would do what? You'll lose what? Your mind. Unless you look at the idolatry that I showed you of my life. Did that help you guys? I mean, as far as secular thinking, that's the closest thing I can come up with to describe the Trinity. If you deny the Trinity, you'll lose what? Your soul. Your soul. Okay. If you try to understand the Trinity, you lose your mind. You deny the Trinity, you lose your soul, sister. Okay. What is the only thing that's true about God? What God says is true. Anything outside of what God says is true is what? Idolatry. Why? Because it comes from the mind of man, which is not infinite, but finite. And anything that's finite trying to describe that which is incomprehensibly infinite is idolatry. Okay? So, what was the first thing we established in this class that we have to know and have to believe in order to really understand every aspect of what God wants from you? The Word. How important is the Word? All important. Okay? Now, here we go. We got the Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what part of the Trinity? I love my sound. Amen. That just makes the class, I think. Now, when we look at the Trinity, we already have established, when we look at the Trinity, who's the greatest? The first question you got to answer is what? Role of essence, Pastor, you're asking about. If we're talking about essence, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which is greater? God the Father. If we talk about essence, Al.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If we're talking about essence, who's the greatest? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Neither. They're all the same. If we're talking about role, which one is greater? God the Father. Who has submission to God the Father? Second is Jesus Christ the Son. You look in the triangle. Okay? Remember the triangle. You look down, top at the apex in rows is God the Father. To your left, my right is God the Son. And to the right, my left is God the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the triunity. Okay? We're breaking that down. We spent the first 3 weeks lining up the Trinity without you knowing it, right? We talked about the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Scripture, the character of the Scripture, the whole scope of the Scripture. We looked at every aspect of the Scripture, and you didn't know that we were talking about the first part of the Trinity because I wanted you to relax, because the minute you start trying to talk about the Trinity, people have brains start shutting down. The thing they've been told so long and so much that you cannot even comprehend any aspect of the Trinity. But you can understand every aspect of the Trinity that's been revealed in the Word. Okay? You have enough by the Bible to believe anything you need to know, anything you need to believe to get into heaven is in the book. Right? Is there anything outside of the Bible, when we talked about the scope of Scripture, is there anything outside the Word of God that cannot answer your questions? Nothing. Anything you want to know about life, you can find it in Scripture. You may not like what you find in Scripture, but you can find it in Scripture. Because God would not give us a way to live without laying it out systematically, because that's how He created. Remember, let's talk about creation. Who created all things? God the Father, in this particular role, not in essence, but in role. Who was the God who created all things? Jesus Christ. God the Father never created anything. Holy Spirit never created anything. They would be stepping out of their role. When we look at the Holy Trinity, we have who at the apex and role? God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. When we look at the unholy Trinity, marriage, why does God hold marriage so high? It's the only thing on earth that's what? The model of God's relationship to God. Keep that as so important, not just the Trinity. Marriage is the only thing on earth that is the model of God's relationship to God. God's relationship to God is the perfect relationship. No bickering, no arguing, no, well, I want to be that, I'm not going to take that, you can't put me down, I've been on this cross too long. Can I have an amen on that? You never hear that. So the perfect picture, if we're going to have God understood, as we come down, the Trinity is at top, we're talking about the unholy Trinity, now that's when we get involved. You got God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit at the apex. That never changed in essence or role when it comes to the unholy Trinity. Jesus Christ is down here in the Holy Trinity. Who takes his place in the unholy Trinity? The husband. Who takes the Holy Spirit place in the unholy Trinity? The wife. That's why most of the conviction, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. Right? To bring in what's wrong that you need to get right. Guess what? God has given the role of a woman. Her role in the relationship is to know what is going wrong. And anytime I want to know how a marriage is doing, I don't ever ask the man. The man either overshoot or undershoot. But a woman hits it right on. Because it doesn't matter what the man thinks, if the woman thinks it's bad. Can I have an amen or something? All right, you guys getting this stuff for free. I don't know if I'm giving it so much stuff free. All right, so when we went through God the Father, through the role, what is the only way that you can study God the Father's role? Look at the triangle. Remember the triangle. What is the only way you can study God the Father's role? If I say who's the greatest, what's the first question you ask? Role of essence. What's the only way we can study God's role? Know what his essence is. Remember that? We had already talked about relationships as human beings. If you get your self-image from your role, you are a miserable, exasperating, and stinking individual to live with. Okay? Most people get their self-image from what they do, what they have accomplished or haven't accomplished, what they own or don't own. You're miserable. You're miserable to live with. I'm sorry. You're just fat. You're stinking. Okay? If you get your self-image from your essence, you can be consistent regardless of whatever you do. And so what does God want you to get your self-image from? You are wonderfully and fearfully made, Psalms 139, by God Almighty. From your mother's womb were you created. How can there be anything wrong with a person that is created, molded, and brought into being by God? You get the essence from that. See, my biggest problem is I got so much essence from that, people think I'm prideful. They think I'm egotistical. They think I'm caught up in myself. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 says, everything I've gained is lost. Man, but to be in Christ Jesus, I mean, I'm everything in Christ. Everything. I don't have to be nothing to me. I don't have to accomplish nothing. I don't have to do nothing. I just am Jesus, man. And Jesus, man, is extremely bold. Why? Because if I try to work to get anything for myself, I've lost. But when I live for the glory of God, how can I lose? Can you imagine if you could learn to live that way in every aspect of your life? You'd be walking around like a peacock. And everyone would think you're what? Boastful. You know why? Because they don't understand the life in Christ of victorious living. And you can do it, and they don't even know you're humble. The world would never recognize a humble person. Humility was the Israelites going in and wiping out all villages. Because God told, kill them all. Women, children, everybody. Can you imagine being an Israelite soldier and there's a 3-month-old baby there and you got to pick it up and stab it with a sword? Because God said, do it. If you don't understand God and all gain to you is lost, you can't obey a command like that because you think it's ungodly. Because we have tried to define what is godly, what is humble, what is right, instead of God's word defining what is humble, what is good and right. You know what a humble man is? Not what you think he is, but one who's totally dependent on God. Anyone know what a wealthy man is? Biblical wealth. You know what a wealthy, true, biblical, spiritual, wealthy man is? It's the man that's content with nothing. It's the true wealthy man, because anything he's got, he's totally satisfied. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to live that kind of life. Can I have an amen from somebody here? I know you're white, but give me an amen. All right. Good. All right. I'm working hard up here, y'all. You know what I mean, bro? I'm working. Then we went to the second part of the Trinity last week. And what's the only way you can study Jesus Christ's role? What is it? You got to put him at the essence, right? So, at the triangle, when we look at the triangle, we're going to study Jesus Christ. We got to move him in his essence to the top of the triangle, so you never get out of his essence who he is when you study his role. See, too many people take God, too many people take Jesus and the Holy Spirit out of their essence, and then all of a sudden we make him a big buddy. Can't hear you. We make him what we want him to be. Loving and cold. Jesus meant a loving God. He'll never send anybody to hell. That's because you removed him from his essence and put him in his role of love. People get all the time, but Jesus was a God of love. You're a homophobe. You're a hate monger. Man, did you ever get my face? I said, oh. See how much it hurt me? It just cut me deep. Oh. I said, Jesus. Are you acknowledging Jesus was a God of love? He goes, yeah. I said, are you acknowledging that Jesus loved everybody? Yeah. That he accepted everybody in love? Yeah. And he taught that the whole 3 years he was on earth? They go, of course. I said, then, if he was a God of love, lived a God of love, accepted everyone, telling everyone that you love everybody, why did they kill him? I said, he must make somebody mad. Can I have an amen on that? Because the world tries to dictate to us what love is, what commitment is. And we cannot get that definition from any place outside of the Bible, because any definition of love, humility, or anything else that's not written in the Bible is what? Idolatry. Are you beginning to understand what I'm trying to teach you, that we do not have a mind of our own? When it says we do not have a mind of our own, don't mean we quit thinking. It means our definition, our efforts, our ways is built around the one who created us. Then you're all well pleasing. Okay? Are you getting that flow as we go through this? Especially the Trinity. We get to Jesus Christ, we put him at the top, which is his essence, in order to understand his role. In essence, does it matter who's at the top? No. In roles, what? In roles, who is always at the top? God the Father. Never will he give up his role. Who's always second? Jesus Christ. In a marriage situation, who's always on the right-hand side, in control? The husband. That's hard for us to accept today. You know what? Because most times, the man is not the head of the home. He's the headache. Can I have an amen? Come on, talk to the pastor. Talk to the pastor. Because the man don't act the way Christ does. Okay? You guys missed my relationship class. You ought to take it again. Those of you that did get it. And the woman, when she understands what she is in Christ, because the man is acting the way he acts. I tell my wife all the time, back off, girl. I'm the head of this house. And then I laugh and say, baby, you're the neck, and you can turn me any way you want me to go. Can I have an amen right there, boy? All things you have to do is love me. Man is made out of what? Dirt. God made man from dirt. Remember, all scripture is what? God breathed. And God into dirt. Now, that's life. See, that's power. The word, life in the atom. If God can breathe life in dirt, what can he deal with you and I who's flesh? God, yeah, I'm working hard, man. I'm working hard, Al. You know what I mean? Whew. Black people be yelling and jumping up by now, be saying amen, doing flip. White people on the east side just look at you. Jesus, man, I mean, just the concept of the Jesus that we love and we serve and the sacrifice he's given. When that woman understands that, a woman is made out of flesh, took a spare rib from man and made prime rib. That's what God did, amen? I mean, made the best. And the only thing we got to do is understand how we're to get along in that perspective. And a woman has all the control she ever wants in a home if she knows how to take the Holy Spirit's position. But when you start trying to take the husband's position, and when the husband starts letting you take it, you got a messy situation. I'm talking about John 1:1. We went through Titus 2:13, Romans 9:5. Jesus was called God. Okay, now, remember the premise, right? Remember the premise. If we're going to prove that there's three gods, yet one, yet not one God, but three, that's the Trinity, that's triunity. Then if we can prove God and Jesus is the same, and we can prove God and the Holy Spirit is the same, then by simple mathematical aspects of logic, we have proven that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is the same. Can I have an amen for somebody? We're rolling, right? Then we walk through the light. We talked about eternality, all-powerful. We talked about the all-knowing. We talked about creation. We talked about forgive sin. Why was it such wrong for them to get mad at him for forgiving sin? What was that? Only God can forgive sin. We know that. But why did they get so mad when Jesus busted them on their reasoning? If you healed them, yeah, right. That's right. Their sin would be forgiven because they all associated in the Jewish belief that if God was on your side, you was healthy and wealthy. Okay? That was their whole philosophy. If you were kicked out or you were sick or you was poor, and then God, you had sinned and that was something God had against you. So Jesus says, what's the difference? Tell him to pick up his pallet and walk or to say your sins are forgiven. By their own logic, he killed them. They couldn't even argue. Man, Jesus is just so cool. And he never got uptight. Did you notice that? When even at the crucifixion, they smacked him. He goes, what do you say about that? And Jesus goes, why did you hit me? See, if it was me, I'd be picking up rocks, throwing. That's why Jesus didn't say, God didn't send me to down the cross. Amen? Because the brother would have been picking up stones, throwing it back. They're going to stop. Oh, you going to throw a rock at me? That's what forgiveness was all about. Jesus had all composed. Why would you hit me? Did you hit me for something I did, one of the great miracles that I did? Then he starts from where he goes, don't you know that we have the power? You won't answer anymore? Don't you know we have the power to turn you loose? He says, the only power you got is what my Father gave you. Me, sometimes I forget. I think I need to persuade. Anybody else like that? I'm not the only one. Rest of you need to confess your sins before God right now, all right? Receives worship. How do we know that he is God if he receives worship? Let me give you a little hint. How do you know if an angel of the Lord was an angel of the Lord or was an angel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Whether or not he received worship. If it was an angel of the Lord and not Jesus, they stopped him from worshiping. If it was God, Jesus Christ, an epiphany before he came in the flesh. That's why I believe Melchizedek, that's going to throw you off, so we won't get too deep into this one. That's why I'm challenging all the seminaries that Melchizedek was not a man, he had to be Jesus Christ. Because if he was a man, that was a man greater than Jesus that lived before Jesus was born through the loins of Abraham. Kaboom! Because Abraham bowed to Melchizedek, that means Jesus, when he was in the loins of Abraham, bowed. And nada, 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 nada. Even my buddy Rabbi Laffin can't even answer that one. He refused to answer. Because if he answers it wrong, he's got to say Jesus is God. Can we have an amen? So I want to bring him in, and we'll have a night with the rabbi, my good buddy Rabbi Laffin, on how we got the Bible. It is so enlightening about one of the concepts he throws out is, would man come up with the concepts in the Bible that's difficult for man to live? If man wrote it. No. If man came up with the Bible, would man have said, let's get married? To one woman. Can't have an amen. The Mormons have something going there, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be making fun of them. But yes, I can. They're wrong. There we go. All right, so we're very good. That's where we finished, I believe. I think we stopped right there last week. You got your books? Okay. Should be on page 20. Personal claims, I and the Father are one. Who will read John 10:30 for me? Who got it? Huh? I know. John 10:30, who will read that? We'll do it real loud. We'll do this one. Who read? Okay. Who will read John 14:1 for me? Okay, in the back. Way in the back. And Matthew 12:8. Matthew 12:8. Okay. In the back. All right. John 10:30. Real loud. What would happen with the Jews the moment they heard Jesus Christ say this, even though most claims today that Jesus never said he was God, what would the Jews understand when Jesus said, I and the Father one? Because we know Jehovah's Witness would tell you, we believe that Jesus and God is one. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you stop there, you go, what's the confusion? They believe what we do. But they won't follow through and say Jesus is God. So when Jesus says the Father and I are one, is he talking about religious definition or is he talking about the Trinity's definition? Trinity's definition. Jesus Christ is in his role, and when he makes this statement, he moves into his essence. Now let me show you what I mean. So you don't understand it, but he did it all the different times, but when he only revealed it once in 33 years on the earth. When he moved from role to essence. Remember in the Garden of Eden? Garden of Eden. Garden of Gethsemane? Long ways away, you know, there's a different one. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was there that night, the soldiers came. He walked up to the soldiers in his role as being the Son of God. And he said, who do you seek? They said, we seek Jesus. He steps out of his role of human being, and he steps into his essence and says, I am he. Glory came out of him, knocked the soldiers to the ground. Okay? Then he shut back up his essence, stepped back out into his role of manhood, and said, who do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He steps out of his role of human being into his essence of God and says, I am he. Whew. Why didn't it knock him down the second time? It was still on the ground from the first. He closed back up, and when he closes back up, Peter sees the guys all laying down. He pulls his sword out and tries to kill them because they're knocked on the ground. He wasn't that brave. And I want to ask you a question. Where did he get the sword from? He had it for all 3 years. Because they came to take over with Christ. They didn't come for a suffering servant. I tell you, every time I start this class, I get charged, don't I? Your battery is full. Thank you very much. Believe also in me. Who want to read that one for me? John 14:1. In the back, very loud. Let not your heart be troubled. Check this out. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Listen to this. It's so important. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What is the only way you can truly believe in God? Whoa. Don't go too fast. Go back to what we talked about the very first two or three sessions. What is the only thing that's true about God? What God says is true about God. When we went to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if you're going, just see how heavy this is. He says, if you're going to believe in God, the only way you can believe in God is to believe in me, because I am the Word in front of you in flesh, and without the Word in me, you cannot, because I came down like the Word came down and got on the page, and I came down and got on dirt so you can see what God's like. Bam! See, that's what he's saying right there. That is nasty. I'm working hard, Al. You know what I mean, bro? Working hard. Working hard. When we read the scriptures, we don't see the scriptures as they are alive because we don't comprehend the word being alive. That's why you can read a verse one time and it may say nothing to you. Like you can go to a mate, another person, and talk to them and it's just gibberish. You kind of look at them like, what was that? And as they mature, better yet, a baby. You go to a baby and it's, and you're sitting there going, what? And it just, you know how kids are, they just, and don't let them tell a story. And yesterday, yesterday I was going to, and you're sitting there going, hey, I've been there. Now you'll put up with that with a 2-year-old, 3-year-old. But when a guy's 26, yesterday, you know, you're going to, well, you need some time on the couch. Why? Because that should be maturing in the what? Living state. But you cannot let someone say the Bible matures and changes. The Bible just reveals more of what it has already said to you as you grow. Why can't we grow at our own speed? God won't let us grow at our own speed. Why won't God allow us to grow at the speed we want to grow? We see God, we see us. We see too much of God at once, we see all a lot of us at once, we'll kill ourselves. We won't be able to live with us. That's why he says, if you see me, you can't live. Because you see so much unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? God loves us enough not to let us grow too fast. In what he wants you to grow in. Come to the killer. So that's sovereignty. Can I have an amen from somebody? Amen. What does white people say? Black people say amen. What does white people say? You know what y'all say? You go like this. You say your amen like this. Am I right or wrong? Yeah, that's amen right there. I had to look to see amen in a white church. Also, you know. I praise the Lord in the black church. Praise God, brother. Preach it. In the white churches. Got to be looking, I guess. Believe also in me. And that, and once you see the explanation of it, when you see God speaking, when you see the word come alive, and you see Jesus emphasizing, does that not take on a whole new connotation when he says, you believe in the Father? You believe in me. Because if you don't believe in me, the Word, you can't believe in the Father. And guess who understood when he said that? The Jews, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. That's what made them so mad. He's equating that you cannot believe in the God of Jehovah if you don't believe in me. And I'm right here in front of you. And if you don't recognize me being in front of you, it's because you expect God who's not in front of you to be like something else. Psalms tells us they expect the God to be exactly like them. You know why you and I can't worship God oftentimes? Because we want to make him what we want him to be. And that's another word for what now? Idolatry. You know how much idolatry is in the Christian life? We wonder why we don't have power. Okay, Matthew 12:8. Whoa. Wait a minute now. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Do you guys know how bad the Jews would get when the Lord of the Sabbath is saying, I am here right in front of you and I can do what I want on the Sabbath? Jesus Christ says, I never came to break the law, but he broke the law every day he was on earth. Why? What's the difference? Alright, all the laws that the Jews added, Jesus broke because it didn't come from God. That ticked them off. Because they've had how many years before Jesus came to make all the laws they want? How many years? 400 years. God had been silent. From Malachi, or is it Italian? Malachi? Italian prayer. All the way to the book of Matthew. God was quiet. Why is it that the Greek Empire with Alexander the Great is the only empire that you don't see explained in the Bible except in Daniel? What was it? God was silent the whole period that the Greek Empire was on the earth. Is that just not nasty? Huh? Alright, that's some serious personal claims, wouldn't you think? Jesus Christ said, I am. He said, I and the Father are one. You believe in the Father, you gotta believe in me. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. But you broke the Sabbath. Oh, the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. You have turned it around and you've made man for the Sabbath. It was so bad, guys, that they would take something from their home. They would pick up, say this was something that belonged to the home, but they could only travel like 30 miles on the Sabbath from their house at the most. And if they take something with them, they can take go 30 miles, put it down, and travel another 30 miles. Because they're still 30 miles from where? Home. Oh, man, Jesus is a bastard. How would you like to? I told Rabbi, I said, Rabbi, man, let me tell you something. A lot more freedom in Christianity. Okay, you in the back. Read. Yeah. Mark 14, 61 through 64. And could you please read loud? Okay. Now, what did Jesus say in that statement alone? I am who? It was the great I am. That's why they got so mad at him in John chapter 8 when he jumped on Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Yeah. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, it says, who should I say sent me? Moses asked God. God said, tell him I am. And he said, well, I know I am, but who's going to send me? I am that I am. We know it, that Moses and God was not white. Amen? Because well, we know he's not black. How about that? Yeah, I gave you all the answers about Jesus being black. We know God's not black. Because he was the I is where I is. Now, you talking about what's that? Saying? Some of you get that on the way home. You need it, right? He's a sense of humor. When we look at that, I mean, how strong can you get a statement from Jesus Christ saying, look, I'm God. What you going to do with me? Are you him or not? And they tore his, tore his clothes. You know who the happiest people were on earth for 3 years? Can anyone tell me who was the happiest people on earth for 3 years? Tailors and soap makers. Every time Jesus walked the town, they were tearing their clothes and throwing dust on themselves. Amen. Can you just say, Jesus coming. Get some more soap, boys. Put it on the shelf. Excuse me. I shouldn't be funny, should it? This is church. No. It should be boring. What? Are you messing up my flow?
I'm just wondering, from talking to the rabbi, do you think that the Jews are still looking for a Messiah?
Of course they're still looking for a Messiah. But they know it's not a person. Mm-hmm. That's why they fight so hard for the land, because they can't have a Messiah. The only way they can have a Messiah, because at the kingship of Jehoiakim, God came and said, none of your descendants will ever sit on the throne again. He was so wicked, God cut off the lineage. So what's the only way they can have a king? Virgin birth. Isn't that great? That's another question Rabbi won't answer. Oh, you're confused? She's a little bit confused. If you're just only a little bit confused, you're good. All right? I just said something that's very confusing. All right? When Adam and Eve, it started from Adam and Eve, not Jehoiakim. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, who sinned first? Eve. If Eve sinned first, why did sin fall on man? What's that? Her husband followed her, so it should have fallen on Eve, right? Why didn't it fall on Eve? Was that? Okay, choice is right, but what kind of choice? Wrong choice, right? Eve was what by Satan, the serpent? She was deceived. He consciously made his effort. Okay, he wasn't deceived. He looked at Eve. He looked at not having the Eve. He looked at Eve. He thought about not having to eat. Because if he would have just listened, God would have killed Eve and took another rib. And that hurts the first time. Just kidding. And God would have made just another Eve, right? Am I right or wrong? If he would have just stayed, God would have wiped Eve out. Plus, it must follow man. And why did woman have to sin first? No. Why did Eve have to sin first for both of them to be sinners? If Adam would have sinned first and asked her to bite, if she submitted, only he would have been sinful. Yeah, see, still. So what he did, because she was deceived, he openly rebelled. Sin fell on man. So where the sin in humanity, how is it transferred? By a woman's embryo or the man's sperm? Man's sperm is what sin is transferred. So when Eve had the embryo, Holy Spirit gave that egg life, there was no sin in Christ. So it had nothing to do with man. See. Wow! Are we having fun tonight? Mary. Way to listen, dude. She's getting choked up over there. The pastor got it from her. When you look at the Mary, do you realize that Mary is the only one mentioned? You got three sets of like 12s in the generation from the promise of Jesus Christ. The only way you can get to three sets of 12 is count Mary. And if you look at the all of the genealogies, and it goes, he begot he, he begot he, he begot he, he begot he, he begot Joseph, who married Mary, who begot Jesus. Greatest apologetic in the world is right in some of the boringest stuff. God will put some of the greatest nuggets in the most boring places and just to see if you're going to read it. That was a good one, wasn't it? You know, you answer the abortionist, and they say that's not life for 9 months. It's a fetus. And if you said no, it can't be, because if it is, Jesus wasn't alive for 9 months, and he's no longer eternal.
But he was there in the beginning.
But he's there from the beginning, and he's there from conception. The minute conception, Jesus Christ proved his life. Because it will never break in eternity. Can I have an amen from somebody? Alright. Is there an E? Alright then. I feel like we've seen this before. And let me ask this question again. My Star Trek friend over there. Where did that sound come from? Where did that sound come from? Okay, all right, let me see. I had to get it back on tape. All right. Jesus, what is the work that he did in order to prove that only one, who is the only one that can please the Holy God? Who is the only one that can please the Holy God? Yes, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the definition of Jesus. Who is the only one that can please a holy God? A holy God. The only one that can please a holy God is a holy God. Thus, when you and I fail the holy God, a holy God of the Trinity had to pay for it, so you and I, because we never could. There's only one way that you can pay for your sins without accepting Jesus Christ. There is a way. That's one way you can accept that you can pay for your sins without Jesus. What is it? Anyone know? Spend eternity in hell. Got you nervous, didn't I? You got nervous on that one, boy. You're heresy. It's the only way you can pay for your sins outside of Jesus Christ, spend eternity in hell.
So you do have a choice.
You do. But it's for me and my house. I'm going to go away from the asbestos suit. Can I have an amen on that? Who is it? Romans 5:8? Who read that for me? I need a hand. Romans 5:8. Okay. Romans 3:24. Need a hand. Some hands up. Volunteer. I want some readers. All right, ma'am. Who read 1 Peter 1:3 through 5 for me? What's your buddy's name? Kyle? All right, baby. 1 Peter 1:3 through 5. First Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. Read that for me. Okay, bro. Remember we're a verse because I don't remember who to point out. Okay, Romans 5, 8. Die for our sins. We'll see as soon as you finish reading. Real loud. Can you hear in the back? You can't hear in the back? She hasn't started reading yet. I'm a terrible person. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Did you guys ever hear about the Catholic nun that stutters? Some of you get on the way home. All right. Romans 5, 8, real loud. How about 9?
Okay. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his blood.
Isn't that amazing? God says, now if I die for you when you're not even thinking about me, when you weren't even born yet, when you hadn't even had a concept of me, what better relationship do you and I have with him now that we're reconciled with him? Do you know the greatest faith in all the world is believing faith? That's what my next book's about. Greatest faith in the world is to believe that a holy God will forgive you and make you eternally with him without you doing anything. If you can believe that, the rest of faith should be downhill. That's why I said, don't ask me for any more faith until I use up what I already got. Charismatic church is not going to like this very much. Because they always teach you've got to have more faith, you've got to have more faith, you've got to have more faith. I believe you've got to use what God has given you. You've got all the faith you need if you can get into heaven. Can I have an amen? You know, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by all our faith's got to be based on the word. How important is the word? Can't be based upon what someone else says. Any faith that's based off of what someone else says you can't find in the Bible is not faith, it's stupidity. It's presumption. And it's plain spiritual ignorance. I said that with a smile. All right? Woo! 324. Read it real loud again.
Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus.
Meaning that Paul is talking about great redemptions in Christ Jesus? That's one of his works. He redeemed us. If you guys want to learn how to study the Bible, I want you to do something for me. I want you never to go to the Bible without having a dictionary with you. Okay? There's no way in the world you're going to understand what the verse says unless you understand every word in the verse. You know how many of us read a verse and don't understand half the words and go, this don't make sense. I wonder why. That's just like trying to read a road map and you're supposed to be on I-90 and you're on I-22. You're in the wrong state. This don't make sense. I wonder why. Can I have an amen? And then we'll open the Bible, go to the middle of the chapter, go to the fifth verse, second line, and then read it. Go, this don't make sense. You ever got a letter from somebody and tried the same thing? I promise you, if you go to the second page, the third paragraph, the third sentence, and start reading, it's not going to make sense. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hear about the guy that says, I am going to study the Bible. God, whatever you tell me, I'm going to have a pick and find method. Went through the Bible. Boom. Put his hand on there. Judas hung himself. Ooh. Man, that's not a good verse. Look now. Go ye and do you likewise. Ooh. That's not a good verse. Then. Whatever you do, do quickly. Ooh. I don't believe in that pick and find method. Amen. Can I have it? Amen. You can make the Bible say anything you want if you take it out of context. Okay? You can make it say anything you want. You can justify, 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 justify. Enough to make me sick. Man, time is flying, isn't it? Raised for our victory. Raised for whose victory? He wasn't raised for his victory. He already had victory. He was raised for our victory. The difference between Christianity and all other religions is our Savior died and rose again. I was in a foreign country one time, and I got in this cab. And the cab driver had this turban on, and we got, you know, I said, man, you know, I'd like to get this on some conversation, you know, because I'm probably never going to see him again. So I said, who do you believe in? You religious? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, yes, sir. Well, who do you believe in? He said, man, I believe in Buddha. Oh, that's great, man. I believe in Jesus Christ. Ooh. Jesus Christ was a good man, but no. I said, no, man, Jesus was God. No. He was a great prophet. I said, oh, he wasn't a great prophet. He was the prophet. No. Buddha was a good prophet. I said, nope. Sorry. I said, Jesus Christ was born for his people. Buddha was born for his people. And I said, hey, Jesus Christ lived for his people. Buddha lived for the people. I said, well, Jesus Christ died for his people. He goes, Buddha died for the people. What are you talking about? Kick down the rope. Buddha died for the people. I said, Jesus Christ rose again for his people. It was so perfect. He goes, Buddha hadn't come back yet. I mean, it was just the greatest, just silence. Well, hey, guys, without the risen Savior, Christianity is no different. No different than any other religion. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. When Jesus rose again, who did it help? Who did it help? I can't hear you. Us. He didn't die for him. He didn't die to get in the grave for him, and he didn't rise again for him. Let me ask you a question. How precious are we to God? I never want any of you, if you leave this class, you ever put yourself down about anything. It is the most selfish thing in all the world for you to think that you're not something God died for. You're the ultimate selfish. And there's no such thing as a bad self-image. It has the biggest lie in psychology. As a matter of fact, you think so much of yourself, you don't think you should be having what's happening to you happening to you. You're so in love with you, you don't think you should look like this. You think you should look much better. That's how selfish you are. Job, I mean, Job knew. Joseph, hey, man, I did nothing wrong. Nothing? I did nothing wrong. Yes, you did. No, I did not. Who was those three small guys in the Bible I told you about? Nehemiah. Not Meshach and a bad Negro, no. And I said, no. She's still stuck on that first question. We got Nehemiah. Who the other two? Bildad, the Shuhite. Little bitty dude. Shuhite. What? Is it in the Bible? And what was the third small guy? Roman guard that slept on his wife. Yeah, that's a tidy dude right there, boy. All right, three smallest guys in the Bible. You're going to dazzle your friends with this kind of information. 1 Corinthians 15, 20, 1, 2, and 3. Can you hear? Okay. Yeah.
But now Christ has been raised from the dead. First fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death,
question. Which one died? First Adam or second Adam? And which Adam was first? The first Adam or second Adam? The second Adam was first. And the second Adam died for first Adam. Because the second Adam also made his mother Mary. That was a hint. That was a hint, hint, hint. So who's the second Adam? Jesus. Now, why would Jesus Christ be the second Adam instead of the first Adam? The first Adam has to be redeemed to God. Second Adam doesn't. It's the second life that is right with God, not your first life. That's why you got to be born again. First life, second life is what's right with God. Can you hear what amen? All the way through the Old Testament, every son that was blessed was always the second son, where the Jewish said it has to be the first son. Isn't that great? Intercessor. It's going to be very important because we're going to get to the Holy Spirit next week, right? You do not want to miss that class because Holy Spirit is what has, will move through God the Father, who gave His Son the right to create all things. God the Father was the head of things in the Old Testament. Can't hear you. Everything was God the Father through the Old Testament, relationship with the Jews. Transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, everything centered around Christ for 33 years. Then the Acts, the transition from the transitional period of Jesus Christ to the church. Who is the power broker in the church? Holy Spirit. It's going to go back to God the Son, during the tribulation period. Then it's going to go back to the Son during the millennial kingdom. Every dispensation that the big words means the change of age. Every dispensation, one of the Trinity's role is the main role in that dispensation. So in the church, you've got to know how the Holy Spirit works, or you can't have victory. Just like in the Old Testament, if you know how God the Father works, you couldn't have victory. In the transition, if you know how Jesus works, you can't have victory. So you know how many Christians don't know how the Holy Spirit works during the church age? That's why they don't have victory. You can have an amen from somebody. And you're going to learn something here that very few people get. Because they're not in our class. Hee-hee! Who read Hebrews 4, 14 through 16? Somebody hadn't read? Thank you, ma'am. You haven't read tonight? Okay, good. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Okay, family guys. All right, here we go. Intercessor. Remember, we must understand this because if you do not know how the Trinity work, you cannot pray correctly. If you do not pray correctly, you may wonder why your prayer life is... Now, some people go, who do you pray to? Well, just as long as you use God or you use the Holy Spirit or, you know, Jesus, you're praying right. No! You won't be here next week, will you? You got to call your relatives. All right, intercessor, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. What does it mean to intercede for someone? A lot of people will pray for you, but we have very few intercessors. Whatever it takes to make you right, you're willing to do and to take. That's why Jesus was the intercessor for us. He went as far as dying to make it right for us. Most of us want to have church help. Give $5 to that person over there. As long as I have to do nothing else, I help. Did you help or did you intercede? Which one? You helped. You prayed for them. Intercession is deeper. We're going to talk about that. We have an advocate. 1 John 2:1-2. Well, that makes Calvin, five-point Calvinist wrong, eh? Everyone know the difference between Calvinist, Sam, and Arminian? No? Want to take a guess? Yeah. No. No. It is now. No, you know the difference between Calvinist and Arminian? Calvinist, the one says God chose. You didn't have a choice in it. Arminian says, whoa, free choice, free will. I call it responsible will. Calvinist and Arminian was walking down the stairs. Calvinist trips and falls and says, I wonder why God wanted me to do that. Arminian trips and falls and says, what do I want to teach myself by that? He sees everything as his choice. Calvinist sees everything as God's choice. The problem with Calvinist, they call it TULIP, the five-point Calvinist, says that you don't have a choice and God only died for those who's going to accept. That verse says that's wrong. So the Bible is more Calvinistic than Arminian. It's just not a five-point Calvinistic teaching in the Bible. Okay? When we look at advocacy, how strong is Jesus Christ as an advocate for you and I? All other religion, any other religion, you can always know if the religion is right or not if it adds something to Jesus for you to make it. If it adds anything that you have to do to make it into heaven and get forgiveness, it's a false doctrine. Only thing you got to remember. When they train people how to look at counterfeit dollars, what do they do for the whole training program? Handle real money. They never handle counterfeit money in their training. If you want to know if something is wrong, you don't have to go study all religions. Just know the right one up and down, and the minute you touch a false one, kaboom. We got more Christians know more about other religions than they know about Christianity. Can I have an amen? It's exotic to study new stuff, right? But I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing greater than Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just the subject is just sweet. Just the name, Jesus. Jesus. I get feet bumps just saying the name, man. My Lord's awesome, Jack. Ooh, he's a bad dude too, boy. You got to remember, Jesus is not coming back like he did before. He came as suffering servant before. He's coming back as conquering, killing king next time. Can I have an amen, y'all? You better enjoy him this way. Because if you don't belong to him when he comes back, he's going to be doing some serious killing. And you know what he's not going to listen to? He's not going to listen to liberal-minded people going, that's not loving. Oh. I'm sorry. I enjoy my Christianity too much, don't I? Good gracious. Listen. Ooh, baby. When we get into the Holy Spirit next week, woo, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to think about and study about everything you know about the Holy Spirit so we can prove if it's right or wrong. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the great opportunity that we have to open your word. There's nothing like it, Father. Thank you for people that want to learn. That's nothing like a person that wants to learn. And thank you, Father, for the gifting that you've given us all to teach and to hear. Now, Lord, give us all the one aspect of your glory, and that is to be able to live what we have learned. In your Son's most holy, precious, glorious name, amen. Thank you so much, guys. Have a good night.